May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Be seated. It's probably because I spent 25 years working in downtown Vancouver that I find the history of this city to be really interesting, particularly the downtown. A few years ago, when I was offering support for the development project at First Baptist Church, you know, the church at the corner of Nelson and Burrard, there's a big hole in the ground next to it right now, isn't there? Yeah. That I learned something that changed my perspective on our city. I learned that the original entrance to First Baptist Church was on Nelson Street, not Burrard. If you go by First Church today, you'll see it really clearly. Now, why was it that the entranceway was on Nelson, not Burrard Street? Well, it was because Nelson Street was the major street when First Church was constructed in 1909. Burrard Street, in that time, was a dead end. It dead-ended at False Creek. It wasn't until 1930, when the Burrard Bridge was built, that changed everything in the downtown. Think of it today. How can you imagine navigating downtown Vancouver without confronting Burrard Street at least once or more? The Burrard Bridge provided an access across False Creek, and it opened up the downtown to the city in all sorts of new ways. As we gather on this second Sunday in Lent and hear familiar words from the third chapter of John's Gospel, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes into him may not perish but may have eternal life," when we hear those words, we can think about how God's gift of Jesus Christ to the world changed everything, because through Christ there was access given to everyone, everywhere, to receive the gift of eternal life. This was the insight that Jesus sought to convey to the religious leader Nicodemus in their nighttime conversation. Jesus makes his point even clearer in the verse that follows when he says, "Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." The world saved. The world saved. For Nicodemus, he had a different view. He thought that God's salvation belonged only to his tribe, only to his people. His was a limited vision of the grace and love of God. Jesus explodes his worldview, indicating that it was not just physical birth into a particular race that proffered God's grace, but rather a shift in consciousness, accessible to all people everywhere, that opened up the perspective of eternal life to each and every human being. And before we proceed further, let's be clear about what we mean by eternal life. Eternal life is not just about life after death, but it's about how linear time, it's not about just how linear time goes on and on and on. Eternal life in John's Gospel is about the depth of time itself. It's about a quality of living here and now that's available to all as we turn to God, whose love is shown in the life, teaching, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Eternal life isn't just pie in the sky when you die, by and by. It's available to you here and now. Some of you may remember a wonderful series first broadcast on PBS couple decades ago, maybe more, with Bill Moyers interviewing the professor of myth, Joseph Campbell. Joseph Campbell taught at Smith College for many, many years, and the program of the interview is called The Power of Myth. You can find it on Netflix even now. Joseph Campbell spent his whole life researching the myths of the human community from ancient to present time. He was actually an advisor to the film director George Lucas on the scripts that ended up to be the Star Wars movies. What Campbell found in his research over many decades was that certain themes and motifs wind their way through the myths of the ancient world. Themes of the hero's journey, for example, the realities of overcoming obstacles and finding love. In a memorable moment in his interview with Joseph Campbell, with Bill Moyers, I should say, Joseph Campbell says this: "Eternity isn't some later time. Eternity isn't a long time. In fact, eternity has nothing to do with time. Eternity is that dimension of here and now that thinking and time cuts out. This is it. This is it now. If you don't get it here, you won't get it anywhere. And the experience of eternity right here and now is the function of life. Eternal life is what's happening right now. It's here. If we don't get it here, we don't get it anywhere. We're already living in God's eternity. This is the eternal life of which Jesus spoke to Nicodemus. And to get it, you need to be born anew. Many years ago, I heard our primate, then Archbishop Ted Scott — you have his picture in your vestry, a photograph of him — Ted was speaking about this passage from John's Gospel, and he was reflecting on this idea of being born again. You hear it a lot, particularly from our evangelical Christian friends. He explained it this way. He said, if you think about what birth actually is, that is, moving out of the environment of the mother's womb into the new environment of life outside the womb, then being born again is a pretty common thing for all of us as our consciousness shifts as we encounter new situations. Think about it, being born anew, being born again, as moving from one reality into a new one. That's what being born again means. That's what Jesus was seeking to convey to Nicodemus, that the grace of God was opening up beyond one race and one people and one religion to encompass the whole world. And in our spiritual growth, in our life's journey, this happens to us again and again and again. Let me give you three examples. And let's start with the most obvious. We're in the midst of a big change in consciousness right now as we're confronted with the reality of the coronavirus. It's an anxious time for many people as we adjust our habits to take into account this new reality. It's like we've been moved out of the coziness of the womb to be born into a new reality that demands that we change our behavior. And we've talked about that a bit this morning, the changes that that means in terms of our church life. But for me, what's most significant about this time is the realization of the interconnectedness of the world's people. We tend to settle into our own comfortable tribes of neighborhood, of workplace, family and friends, of nations and peoples. However, the peoples of the world are way more connected than we usually think. We are all one species, and nothing proves that more dramatically than when we are potentially all infected by one virus. In the life of the church, we're fond of saying that we are the body of Christ, interconnected with one another. In this time of COVID-19, we're even more aware of how we are really one body, interconnected with each other, called to care for and about each other right now in very practical ways. So through this, we're kind of born again as we think about things differently. A second example. Given the protests that have happened across Canada in relationship to resource development and the rights of Indigenous people, I'm aware, as I'm sure many of you are, that we no longer live in a Canada whose history we were taught in public schools. I'm old enough, and looking around, some of you may well be as well, to remember those maps in schoolrooms that the teachers pulled down like blinds over blackboards, where all the countries of the British Empire were colored pink. Some of you remember that? Do you know why they chose pink? The color of the British Empire was actually red, but the black print didn't read on red. And so they did it pink, so the names of the countries and the provinces and the cities could actually read. Many of us, particularly of a certain generation, were taught a colonial history of the world that ignored the reality of the lives of Indigenous people, not just here in Canada, but indeed around the globe. We no longer live in that time. Our consciousness about this land and its people is changing, and we're being born again, born anew, to see the world differently, to see our country differently, to see the lives of Indigenous people, sometimes for the first time. And a third example, well, it's from your life today. Because each and all of us have faced or may now be facing into new realities that make you think about your world in a different way. Maybe it's a change in your circumstances. Maybe it's a diagnosis you've received. Maybe it's a death of a family member or friend. Maybe it's a change in jobs or in a family situation. Over and over in the course of a life, we're invited to begin again, to be born anew, to move from one reality which might have been as comfortable as being in our mother's womb into another which causes about the same amount of adjustments, to discover again and again that we're really not in control of life. We're not as in control of life as we'd like to be. A person like me, you like things pretty orderly, right? You like it all set out. That's not what life brings us. Life keeps coming at us and things change. Just like Burrard Street changed when there was a bridge constructed over False Creek. You can just imagine how people would have reacted at that time. Yet today, it's just what it is. It opened up a new way of gaining access. Many years ago, the pop composer Paul Simon wrote a song that became a pop classic, Bridge Over Troubled Water. You probably all know it. It's one of my favorites. I've often thought that song is really about Jesus Christ. the one who gave himself over to the authorities who he had threatened, whose death opened up access for all people everywhere to know God, not as a stern judge in the sky, but as a loving presence that wants to accompany us as we encounter the depth of life. He became that bridge. And through receiving him in the Holy Communion today, we're given the strength and energy to be born into whatever new situation confronts us. And we're reminded once again that we all belong together. We are one body. We're called to care for one another in and through this life. And as we do that, we discover the eternal life that comes to us in and through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.